and into the future we go. Thank you. Next.
I broke the rules, sorry.
That's all right. Item 650.
Authorize new construction financing in an amount not to exceed $3.3 million for the Kilpatrick Affordable Home Ownership Project.
Director Callahan, do you want to just come on up?
No, she's going to push this other one.
Oh, very good.
Hi.
Excellent. Welcome. Good morning.
Okay, I have someone join. Hi. Good morning, Commissioners and Mayor. My name is Dana Shepherd, and I'm actually here to present this along with Steve with Habitat. All right. And are you coming along, Dr. Holt?
Here, one more chair.
Good morning.
All right. Good morning. Good morning. So I am going to, again, my name is Dana Shepherd with the Housing Bureau. I manage the homeownership and home retention programs. And I am here to speak about strategy number two of the four overarching strategies of the North Northeast Neighborhood Housing Strategy, and that is creating new homeownership. So creating homeownership in this area, the interstate urban renewal area, has presented its own set of challenges, as you all have already acknowledged. This area has experienced rising housing costs and over the last few decades. So what we are doing, this is the first North Northeast homeownership development to come in front of City Council for funding approval. This project provides affordable homeownership opportunities for first-time home buyers, giving priority to the families with historic ties to the neighborhood that have been impacted by displacement as the surrounding area has gentrified. So specifically, this is the homeowners of all 30 of these units have been identified by the Northeast Preference Policy. So this project not only provides stable housing in a high opportunity area, but offers families the ability to participate in the equity increase of their home and to create wealth for the next generation. Like I said, there are 30 units in the Kilpatrick project, and they are all townhomes, correct? And they will be family size with 15 two-bedroom units and 15 three-bedroom units. All right. So initial preference policy home buyers are targeted at much lower incomes with 12 homes reserved for families earning between 35 and 60% area median income, 13 homes for families at 61 to 80% area median income, and 5 homes for families from the 81 to 100% area median income. The projected average income for the Kilpatrick home buyers is about 66% area median income. That's equivalent to about $58,014 for a family of four. The project's 30 units help us to reach our goal of creating 110 new homeowners under the North Northeast Housing Strategy by 2022. Again, all of which are identified through the North Northeast Preference Policy. Habitat is an experienced developer and has been providing homeownership opportunities for hardworking families, having built and sold over 400 homes in partnership with local families over the past 38 years. Approximately 90% of Habitat's existing home buyers are from communities of color, 30% identified a family member with a disability, and nearly all have children below the age of 18. Average household income has been $38,117, or 46% area median income. The total Portland Housing Bureau construction financing of $3.3 million is leveraging over $7 million in other sources of financing, including a First Republic construction loan, Habitat donations and sponsorships, and other exemptions or waivers. I'm just going to connect this a little bit with the program side of things. The Portland Housing Center has been working with households that have been identified through the first round of preference policy, and they will be assessing households for their interest and their ability to purchase one of these 30 homes. So I believe earlier in the year, Dr. Holt presented the North Northeast strategy, and we talked about time. And so we're really optimistic that with working with our partners that these households have have had some time to get themselves ready and to be able to finance one of these homes. I'll pass this on.
Great. Thank you, Dana. And thank you, Mayor Wheeler and commissioners, for your continued commitment to creating a Portland that's affordable for all of our residents. Unfortunately, we have a long way to go. I'm Steve Messinetti. I'm the CEO of Habitat for Humanity. And according to our 2016 census data, 27% of Portland renters are now paying more than 50% of their income on rent. That's almost one out of every three households in our city that are unable to afford food, transportation, healthcare because of their high housing costs. With median income for Black families in our city at $26,000, the numbers are even worse. Today, according to the city's seat of housing report, there are no Portland neighborhoods in our city that the average Black family can afford. And not only that, but Blacks own homes nearly at half the rate of their white counterparts. And even today, that ownership rate for Blacks in our city is going down. Your home shouldn't cost you your family's health. Your home shouldn't cost you your family's, your kids' education. When the cost of home is your family's future, the cost is too high. And when the cost of home is any family's future, that's something none of us can afford. So I thank the council for dedicating resources specifically toward people who have been systemically denied wealth-building opportunities for generations and finally giving some the opportunity to buy a home and to build the strength, stability, and self-reliance that comes with home ownership. The preference policy is working. For phase one of this project, 8 of 12 of the households have reserved spots and are ready to buy these homes with an average income of $42,000. 6 of 8 are single parents, 7 of 8 are African American. Each has their own story of displacement and housing instability. I'm joined today actually by three of these home buyers. Reina Hernandez is in the back, John Robertson, and then to my left, Mr. Anthony Handy is going to share a little bit of his family story. Turn it over to him.
So when I got introduced to the policy preface.
Can you move that a little closer?
When I got introduced to the policy preface program, it was kind of hard for me to get a mortgage. It wasn't never enough money. You had to make so much money to even afford for a single father with two daughters, right? And so I had to keep going. I went to Proud Ground, African American program, and then there was another one. And everybody kept turning me down at this point. So I ended up at Habitat of Humanity. And, you know, and like, I'm a recovering drug addict from the HRR program. I just met you about a month ago, right? And so by my credit scores and all of that stuff, records from the past and stuff, you know, the only place I could go to was Habitat of Humanity, you know, and get some help. And so, like, I think I got, 6 months or something left. Then they move into a condo, you know, and it's been kind of discouraging venture, but I stayed the course. They helped me out over here. They showed me how to do finances, and it's a pretty good program, you know, for a first-time homeowner. You know, that's been displaced. You know, my family was lived over there down by the freeway. I was born on Boise School from Fremont and Borfix, you know. And so it's nice that you guys are giving back. I've been to some of the meetings and some of the people that was from the development commission. They was telling us how they were sorry about what they did. They knew what they was doing and they just wanted to help us. And so it's a great opportunity for me right now, you know, as a single parent with two daughters I'm trying to raise on my own, you know, for them to have a stable home for themselves, you know. And that's all anybody ever wants, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Yes.
Thanks, that's Anthony, awesome. For being here. Appreciate it.
Steve, can I just clarify something? Because can we go back one picture? These look like condos. Mm-hmm. Is that what these are?
They are. These are. It's a little unclear in the picture, but there's actually two buildings. The one that's closest to the street there on the corner of Alberta and our interstate and Kilpatrick is a 12-unit building. the top floor units is being referred to as townhomes, meaning there's upstairs bedrooms and downstairs living space, but these are stacked condo units.
Thank you.
And then there's an 18-unit building right next to it as well.
Thank you.
Good morning, everyone.
Morning.
Commissioners, good to see you. Mr. Mayor, good to see you.
Good to see you, too.
Dr. Stephen Holt, Chair of the Oversight Committee for the North Northeast Housing Strategies, and you've seen the strategies emphasized today. I just want to say two things, one specifically related to the home ownership piece, and Steve, you used a lot of the information that I was going to say, so I won't reiterate it. I had a whole prepared document this time, but I will say that home ownership for African Americans in the city of Portland is now equaling 1965 numbers. We've gone backward. And so opportunities like this cannot be overemphasized. The more that we can do, the more aggressive we can be, the more intentional we can be, the better off we will be as a community. To quote what Commissioner Hardesty has already referred to in regard to land banking and securing property. It's just good wisdom. It's just good movement. And so I'm excited about what we've been able to do with the strong property. I grew up right around the corner on Williams and Wygant. And know the area and the heartbeat and what that community once was, which it is no longer. So as we can be intentional and strategic and very purposeful in our forethought and our purpose, I don't think that we could do more than is presently happening. So the Oversight Committee is 100% in support. Obviously, these are the strategies we've been working at. As a response to the robust community engagement, we were involved in to lay these pieces out. So the only thing that I think would be more exciting is more money so that we can do more of this great work. So thank you guys so much.
Thanks, Dr. Holt. Appreciate it. Commissioner Hardesty.
Thank you. I thank you so much for the presentation. It is exciting, and I hope Lightning is still back there. I can't tell, but Okay, good. You talked about home ownership opportunities. Here are some home ownership opportunities. I just want to correct something that Steve said, which is you said the preference policy is working. And I would respectfully disagree when you think about the amount of people who've been displaced as compared to the opportunities that we're making available. So with all due respect, it's not even close to being good. But we are working hard towards a vision about people being able to live wherever they want to, regardless of income. And we do not want to be one of those cities where your income dictates your zip code. And we are very, very close to that today. And so I appreciate the hard work. Habitat, your reputation is really stellar. I'm looking forward to this being one of those green buildings that will be a model for how we move forward. But please don't tell anybody how well we're doing, because we have a long way to go before we can pat ourselves on the back for what we're doing.
Commissioner Daly.
Thank you, Mayor. I would just say that doing well is relative.
It is relative.
And relative to what we heard from the North Northeast group last year, there's been an improvement. So I do think we should celebrate that. And one of the improvements is personal to me. Before I came here, when I was a low-income, single parent, one of those people paying over 50% of my income for rent, I started a Facebook group called The Shed, and I met a young single mom in similar circumstances to me named Chelsea, who is an African-American woman whose family goes back at least three generations in Northeast Portland and had been displaced numerous times and was really struggling, as I was, to keep a roof over her family's head. And her first, I told her about this program, and she was really excited. She went to one of the very first, I'm glad that I have the story right, orientations. She applied, and she didn't get through, and I think we realized in that moment that we hadn't accounted for the fact that the very people we wanted to bring back were facing additional challenges that we hadn't addressed through the strategy. So I am very pleased to say that she has now qualified, and she and her son will be moving into a home. And she beat me to home ownership. And I appreciate your comment about the wreckage of the past, because I don't have the same challenges as you have had, clearly, but I'm still recovering from years of being a cost burden renter and not in a position to buy, despite the fact that I'm sitting here and I'm very well compensated and I've been paying rent on time for 30 years. You'd think I'd be able to buy a house, but not quite yet. So I just want to commend everyone, agree with Commissioner Hardesty that we have a long way to go, but absolutely. I'm relieved that it's going better.
Public testimony.
We've had five people sign up. The first three, Curtis Faith, Jan Connett, and Lightning.
I'm sorry, how many did you say signed up?
Good morning again, council members, mayor. I just want to say again how grateful I am to the Strong family, and I want to emphasize, can't emphasize it enough, I'm really tired of seeing rat boxes everywhere. Could you guys please add a little bit of class and a little bit of style, especially if you are going to name it after the Strong family, because that's really important. And Portland has always been known for all of our creative infrastructure as far as housing and stuff like that goes, and we're losing it so fast. And I come over the bridge and I look up at the West Hills and I think, damn, Vincent Price, did you have to die so soon? In which case, some of those houses wouldn't be there. We all know that. There used to be a code in Portland that you couldn't build a house that would distract the view from the West Hills where those people lived. I'm very grateful to each and every one of them, and I still wish it was active, because when I look around Portland, gray. Even the windows look gray. And so I'm really concerned. And so I've heard people come up here and say the same thing and just be ignored.
I'm sorry, could we pause her time for a moment? This job involves hours of active listening in these council sessions. And we have a policy that says public testimony needs to be relevant to the item at hand, and you're well aware of it. So are you in support of or against this item? In either way, why? I don't need to hear your critique of architectural aesthetics.
Any items you guys want to do, as long as you start using a little bit of class with it, and I'm not the first one to sit here and tell you guys that.
Great.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Good morning.
Curtis Faith again. I had a couple comments. One is I, again, don't understand why this is an emergency resolution, although it seems that from the last time I was here 5 months ago.
But could I clarify that?
Because yes.
It is confusing, and I concede that. It's actually, and I wish we could come up with a different way of saying it other than emergency, but that's just administratively under our rules what it is described. It's not referring to the situation. This is an administrative item. If we don't have an emergency clause, what happens is the item is moved to second reading, and then it is approved, and then we have to wait 30 days until the ordinance is actually enacted. So by putting the emergency clause on it, it's not saying it's more important than other items that don't have the emergency clause. It just means we can begin the financing right away. So it's really about a timeliness issue as opposed to the significance of the problem. That's the reference to emergency.
And that it's in the public interest for us to move faster than the 30 to 45 days
exactly.
It would take if it wasn't.
Exactly.
If I could also add, Mayor, we've had two different council meetings in the next month that were previously scheduled canceled because of lack of a quorum.
Correct.
So we're also trying to make sure that we do the people's business and not get jammed by days in the future in which we don't have council.
Right. Yeah, but I concede it is confusing, so I appreciate
all right,
your raising.
So the terminology doesn't have anything to do with there being a specific emergency resolution for particular types of deals.
That is correct. That is correct.
Okay.
Thank you.
My comment specifically relates to the ability of the public to adequately understand the information so that they could make comment that's relevant. In particular, I would just say that I am, having listened to the presentation in favor of this resolution, but I'm not equipped ahead of time to know whether I would be or not. And that's the problem I'd like to address. I think one of the ways that could be very specifically addressed is that we should put real numbers in instead of 35 to 60% of AMI, which is a relatively complex mathematical concept because most people don't know the difference between the mean and the median. And then when you go look at the numbers in the state, they're all in different tables everywhere. It takes you half an hour to find out what could have been done on the report to begin with, which is what is the actual income levels that we're talking about here when we say 35 to 60% at this particular time. I also think it would be useful if we had a listing of the ongoing subsidy budget implications of any of these projects. If we've got subsidies going in for lower income housing people, then we ought to know we're talking about $6.8 million right now, but we're talking about X number of dollars per year per low income subsidized person that needs to come out of some revenue somewhere, I assume, right? And then it also would be useful if we had some itemization of some standard way of looking at these across them, so we could say we're paying $350,000 per person, new homeowner here. Those are the kinds of numbers that matter to citizens because they're the only way we can assess whether or not this is a useful project or not. And you know, we could come up with a limited number of these projects and say we're doing great things no matter what we do, but how is this impacting the overall number of homeless people that we need? The overall number, are we actually making progress on that chart? Or is this just, you know, sand in a box that's not going to amount to a hill of beans? Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning.
And to
Maggie,
answer,
thank you. Your time is up. Good morning.
My time is not up.
Oh, I thought you haven't already testified. I apologize. Sorry.
Okay.
That was a little abrupt, but
okay.
You got on your point. Go for it.
So the AMI, 30 to 65% right now for the gentleman in the green is $85,000 is the AMI. So if you can do the math on the 30 to 65% of that, you'll have your answer for that question. Okay, so my comment is furthering what the gentleman in the green just said about the total amount of money for affordable housing, the total amount of money being spent for shelters, the total amount of money being spent for permanent supportive housing. I can tell you right now, the shelters are inhumane. I'm in a TPI shelter on the east side.
This has nothing to do with the matter before us.
I get it.
You're for it or against it.
We're talking about people being over 60, over 65, sleeping on the sidewalks in the rain with no sleeping bag. This is the kind of population we're talking about. When you say affordable housing, you're talking about housing people who are going to make $15 an hour, who are ambulatory, who are only economically marginalized, who are not disabled, who don't have...
Could we stop the time again, please? Maggie, multiple times now, you've been told your testimony needs to be relevant to the item at hand.
Your time's
been stopped, and I'm speaking now. This is one piece of our overall strategy to address affordable housing and homelessness. It has nothing to do with shelters. It's not money that we can spend on shelters. So
I don't want you spending money on shelters.
Your testimony
I'm spending money on permanent supportive housing.
To this item. And speaking to the last gentleman who was up here, if you want to better understand these items, our whole agenda is published the Friday before City Council. You can click through the links and read all the materials that are provided to us in our binders. You can contact our offices if you have any questions. And you can look on the Housing Bureau's website and you can see the current income guidelines that we use that are dictated by HUD. I agree that the city doesn't do a good enough job informing the public. I know that our website is hard to navigate, but these are two pretty simple things you can do. You can read our agenda starting Friday before council, and you can look at the information and resources on the Housing Bureau's website. Do you have testimony relevant to this item?
Yes.
Which is, are you for it or against it? And if so, why?
Okay, there's not enough affordable housing and there's not enough permanent supportive housing, and we need to abolish shelters. So more of the same for affordable housing, because when you have these government contractors come in, they hire these temporary workers and then they lay them off over and over again and they can't pay their rent anymore.
Hey,
and
Maggie, I'm sorry, I'm going to have to move on.
Yeah.
Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Lightning. I like the projects that I'm seeing here with Habitat and Humanity. I think it's very well thought out. I especially like the larger size of the units that you're developing, townhouse style. One of the things that I guess I have a little bit of a confusion on is that when you develop a property like this and then you put in the construction financing, and then you're going to come in and do a partial separation from that construction financing, a partial release of the trust deed security. How do you do that? Do you actually do like a condo plat on the whole facility itself, and then you plat that out individually on the construction financing? I don't know if that's been made clear yet. Because that's what a lot of people know in this room. You can go out and buy a 20-unit apartment building and then do a condo plat on it and sell those units out individually as condominiums, as individual units. So, but they're building this right now and then putting construction financing in place. So I assume you're working with the lender on that condo plat situation and separating it out with the lender. So I don't know if you can have a speaker come up and explain exactly how they do that on the new development, but it says it very clear here is that PHB intends to convert the construction loan into permanent affordability subsidies through partial release of its trust deed security at the time to qualified home buyers. So my only other thing, the term on that qualified home buyers, I'm hoping there's a way also when people may not qualify or they'll be close, that maybe the city can step in and also be a guarantee to the construction loan financing and say that we'll guarantee that there'll be a payment made above what they can do at this time to get them into these units.
The Lightning, one of our cornerstone programs, yes, is a down payment assistance program.
Yes.
Which helps people get over that hurdle, which for a lot of people, and we've heard lots of testimony on this,
yeah,
that becomes a big barrier. So the city does have a program which helps people with down payment assistance.
Because a gentleman came up here and was using kind of a $26,000 a year income basis, and what I'd like to see is that can we do a guarantee above that income level from the city to the people that are offering the construction financing to put people into housing. And that's a small additional subsidy from the city. And I know where you're coming from on the down payment issue, but I'm talking the actual payment per month issue also throughout the years. And I noticed that they're giving a 10-year property tax exemption to certain qualified home buyers. I'd like to see that pushed to maybe 20 years for these buyers. And again, that comes back to negotiations with the city and the different places that we obtain the financing. So,
thank you.
Again, if maybe more clarity on that condominium type situation. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you.
We have one more person signed up, Diane Lynn.
Very good. Come on up. Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to see you.
Good morning. My name is Diane Lynn. I'm executive director of Proud Ground. It's wonderful to see you all, Mayor. members of the council. We work in partnership with Habitat for Humanity, Portland Metro East, on creating permanently affordable homeownership opportunities for low and moderate income families, as you all know. I'm here to emphasize the extraordinary collaboration and innovation that has occurred to really help make this project on Kilpatrick the first of several projects, as you know, that will put us on track to move towards the goals we're trying to achieve with this extraordinary effort in North and Northeast Portland. We've been working together as a team with PHB and the other agencies to match the families to these units, and along with several single family homes in the community, we're starting that process more vigorously, and these units are obviously critical to that process. I'd like to emphasize for just a moment the impact that these projects will have into the future in these communities, because these units will be permanently affordable. Along with that, the families will build equity at the time if and when they choose to sell. They can leave their units to their children into the future. If they choose to sell, our research is showing that in a 10-year window, a family can generate at 60% of median income, and that's about $40,000-$45,000 a year for a family of two or three, can generate up to $80,000 in 10 years' time. That can be a game changer into the future for families, and at the same time, we sell that unit again to the next income-qualified family. That's the critical part of the investment you are all supporting today in these kinds of projects. It's not just today's impact. It's going to make a difference well into the future. And these shared equity and sweat equity models really bring the community together to support these projects. I'm excited to hear about the strong family contribution to our community today. And we look forward to working with you on several other projects that are in the pipeline.
Diane, I have one question, and since you're here, and I think you can speak for Steve on this, we're all used to the sweat equity model that Habitat for Humanity has for detached single-family homes, where prospective homeowners and the families put in time as part of their eligibility for becoming first-time homeowners. How does that work with condos?
Condos are a little different, and I hate to speak for
just in very general terms.
But very general terms, people put in their sweat equity hours on other projects. They
I
don't
see.
Try to build the condo. That has to be done by professional team.
But there's still a sweat equity piece.
There is a sweat equity piece.
It's just elsewhere.
Absolutely. And it's
an exemption for elderly or disabled individuals.
Steve, I'm sure there is.
Yes.
I'm sure
answer.
They make accommodations for anyone to meet the needs of the family.
Glad to hear it. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you all so much.
Thanks for your partnership, Diane. Very good. That completes public testimony. Any further discussion on this item? Please call the roll, Keelan.
Hardesty.
I am so thrilled that today is a very good day here at City Hall. We are actually being very intentional about how we address this core issue of how people with limited income are able to live and thrive in the city of Portland. I wholeheartedly support this proposal. Of course, I wish it was four times the size and we had 20 times the number of people ready to have a home ownership. But, you know, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. So I vote aye.
Nia Daly.
Well, I want to thank the Portland Housing Bureau and the members of the North Northeast Oversight Committee. Thank you for bringing us some good news today. I'm very pleased to vote aye.
Fish.
Thanks, Steve Messinetti and Habitat, which has really been a fantastic partner for the city. I love the model. The last time I had a chance to join Habitat was in Cully, where we gave some keys to some new homeowners. Fast forward, my daughter and I went back on a Thanksgiving to deliver some flowers and no one was home, but the intent was good. We just didn't coordinate it effectively. But love the model. And also, inexplicably, interest rates are coming down, which is weird because there was a prediction that interest rates were going to start going up as the Fed was tightening. But it, in relative terms, is not a bad time to place first-time homeowners and low-income families in a home, given the interest rate environment. But again, Steve Messinetti and Habitat are such great partners, so I'm very pleased to support this. Bye.
Wheeler.
So as the commissioner in charge of the Housing Bureau, I have to say this has been one of the more interesting projects that we've been working on in recent years. I think all of us understand that home ownership stabilizes neighborhoods, it stabilizes communities, and here, at least in the United States, passing on home ownership is still the best way to create intergenerational wealth. And so as we talk about some of the gaps that exist in this community, not only around housing, but also income inequality and wealth inequality, this is the type of strategy that can help address those issues. And I also just want to clarify, this is just one of the many steps that the city is taking to help close the gaps in terms of home ownership. This, as you have heard, has been the basis of a broad community partnership. And today we've heard from some of those partners. And I particularly want to thank the North Northeast Oversight Committee. I agree with Commissioner Udaly, considering where we started a couple of years ago, where we are today is leaps and bounds beyond that. And I want to thank the committee members and Dr. Holt and others who worked so hard on that. The African American Alliance for Home Ownership Collaborative, Habitat for Humanity, of course, who has always been a great partner to us here at City Hall, Proud Ground, and of course, the Portland Housing Center. Last but not least, I want to thank the Housing Bureau again. This following right on the heels of the strong property acquisition, which is largely a play around anti-displacement, but also continues to dovetail with the North Northeast strategy as well as the preference policy. These things combined start to become pieces of a bigger strategy that we should all be proud of. I'm very pleased with the work that's been done and what will be done in the future. And I always agree with those who come up here and say we should be concerned about architecture. I agree with that. And I have to say that from my personal perspective, architecture is somewhat of an art form. It's in the eyes of the beholder. I actually believe that the projects that we have done ribbon cuttings on of late have been outstanding from an architectural perspective. And you know, those of us who went to the Blackburn Center ribbon cutting yesterday, frankly, it wasn't that amazing. I mean, just from an architectural perspective, it was amazing. So I'm excited about this. I'm excited about the work the Housing Bureau has done. I'm excited about our collaborations with the community, and I vote aye.